person.
So let's just look at what we did yesterday, a little bit of review. We were saying that our Mishnah is against Rav Nechunya ben Akana because in our case of Chayvei Krisus, he's paying Knas. And yet, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, if we equate Yom Kippur with Shabbos, then the Chiyuv of Kares should knock off the payment of Knas. And then the Gemara asks, my time under Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So that was the last part of the sugi that we did yesterday on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. And the Gemara tries to, in the name of Abai, tries to derive Rav Nechunya ben Akana's principle from the parsha of Ki Inotsu Anoshim V'Nogfu Isha Hara. And the Torah says, the Yatzu Yiladeha V'lo Ye Ason Anosh Ye Anesh, that if she survives the blow, then he has to pay Dmei Vlados, implying that if she doesn't survive V'ye Ason, then he will not pay Dmei Vlados. So now the question is, what does the word Ason mean? Is it Ason Bidei Bezdin, Amisas Bezdin? Or is it an ason bidei shamayim? What does the word ason indicate? So here's where Abai introduces a gzeirah shava, that the word ason, which again in our parasha here of ki natsu anoshim, if she dies, that's as a result of a murder blow. So that's certainly bidei adam. But can we expand this to include under ason even a punishment that comes bidei shamayim? So that we're going to see from ason in the story of Yaakov and Binyamin. So we'll read the pasuk again. It says, "Vayomer, Vayomer, lo yered bni machem ki achiv meis v'hu levado nishar kro ason baderech." So the word ason again appears in this context, and Yaakov Avinu is afraid to send Binyamin down because he's afraid that maybe, perhaps, Karo Ason. So that Abai says, Nemar Ason Bidei Shamayim, the Ason that Yaakov Avinu is worried about that might befall Binyamin is an Ason Bidei Shamayim. So here we have Gzeirah Shava. Ma ason ha'omer bidei adam. Potter min ha'tashlumin. The Torah addresses a case where, as a result of human activity, there would be a patur tashlumin. That human activity was the blow that this person imposed upon this woman, and as a result, she died. And the Torah says he's potter min ha'tashlumin. Torah never says that. By implication, the Torah implies that. Af ason ha'omer bidei shamayim, the same halacha here of ptur tashlumin is going to apply even in the case of ason bidei shamayim. And how do we know this? Because Yaakov Avinu was afraid of an ason bidei shamayim. So this is what we did yesterday. This is the sugya of Abaye. Let me just see. Oh yeah, we had a long discussion yesterday about the Pnei Yoshua.
Right.
Just to review the main question of the Pnei Yoshua. He wanted to know, how does Rav Nechunya ben Akana know that Kimlei Rabbani applies to an Onesh Kares? Because perhaps we're saying Kum Lev Deramine as a result of Malchus. In other words, what we're saying is that in the case of Madlikas HaGodesh B'Yom HaKippurim, Rav Nechunya ben Akana says you don't pay for the loss, you don't have to compensate the owner of the Godesh for burning down his haystack. So perhaps that's a case of that's a case of Chiv Malkus. Let's say if it was Hasrofa Malkus, and maybe it's the Chiv Onish Bidei Adam that knocks off the Tashlumen. Maybe that's what Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana has in mind. So his basic answer was,
as opposed to Chiv Karis,
right? It's not the Chiv Karis as an Onish Bidei Shamayim that Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana had in mind, but rather Chiv Onish Bidei Adam and Malkus if there was Asra for burning down someone's Gadish on Yom Kippur. So he says, if that be the case, then Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana should have mentioned Yom Tov, where there's a Chiv Malkus. Why did he focus on Yom Kippur? Apparently he's calling our attention to the Chiv Karis. And he gives another answer that goes back to the Mishnah of Ein Bein in Megillah, in which Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana says that Yom HaKippurim is equal to Shabbos. Now that's really not true, because in the case of Yom HaKippurim, you would only knock off a Chiv Tashlumen if there was a Hasra, and Bezin actually meets out the punishment of Malkus. Whereas in contrast, in the case of Shabbos, the Ptur of Tashlumen of Kimle applies even if we're not going to impose the Chiv Misa, even if the Hasra was omitted, and he's a shogeg case, you would still exempt him from payment. So what we're about to start today is an objection against Abaye's Yalfusa that's raised by Rav Adabar Ava. So let's just see if we can find the place. We're going to count up from the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines up from the bottom.
Matkifla?
Yeah. Matkifla of Adavar Ava. The premise of Abaye in his drasha was that Yaakov Avinu was concerned about an Ason Bidei Shamayim. How do you know that? Maybe Yaakov Avinu was concerned about something that's not Bidei Shamayim. Mimai dechiko masir lehu Yaakov libnei. What was Yaakov concerned about when he warned his sons, how can I send down Binyamin? It was altsinin upachim. Okay, we'll see what the word pachim means in just a minute, but the word sinim means the cold. If, let's say, you're in a cold place, then it's very easy to contract a disease, let's say to get fever from the cold, and as a result, if it's not controlled, then you could die from it. And that's called the Bidei Shamayim Ninu. Again, the Gemara is going to question this premise later on, but right now let's try to understand the premise as the Gemara understood it initially. When a burst of cold air comes, all of a sudden it gets freezing, that's called an Ason Bidei Shamayim. And Rav Adabar Ava is, so to speak, accusing Abaye of assuming that Yaakov's concern was about this burst of cold air, this sudden storm, which is called Bidei Shamayim. And that, hence, the word Ason allows a broader definition to include an Ason Bidei Shamayim. And now Rav Adabar Ava is going to question that premise. Who says that the Ason that Yaakov Avinu was worried about in the case of Binyamin was the Ason of Tzinin Upachin? Dilma, perhaps, al Aryeh Veganve. Now, let's start with the easy case. I always like to start with the easy case first. Let's start with Ganve. Ganve means attackers, you know, thieves. Dibidei Odom Ninhu. Then the word Ason means that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of Chas V'Shalom, a tragedy that would be brought about by man, by human activity. The first case that he mentioned is Aryeh. So that's a little bit more problematic, because that would seem, if a man is attacked by a beast, that would seem to be Bidei Shamayim, like we spoke about a cold blast of a cold air from a storm. So let's focus our attention on two things now. First of all, on the word pachim, which we skipped, and number two, on the concept of aryeh, and why aryeh is considered bidei adam. So first, pachim. What does the word pachim mean? So the Rashbam elsewhere quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. It says in Tanakh that Yimtar al Rishoyim Pachim, and it says Ad Shiyafuach Hayom. So in the phrase of Ad Shiyafuach Hayom, we translate the word Yafuach, which is the verb of Pachim, of the noun Pachim, as heat, a heat wave. And the pasuk Yam Yimtar al Rishoyim Pachim means Hashem will destroy the Rishoyim through a heat wave, a blast of hot air. It means that just like tzinin refers to cold air of a storm, so we can have the opposite, you know, the blast of hot air, and that's called pachim. It's sort of a little bit reminiscent, I'm only mentioning this because it, you know, in our days, this is what the idea of heat, you know, sort of triggers off in your mind. You know, they call fires, you know, brush fires or something. You know, we're not sure if there was arson involved, whatever, but assuming it was bidei shamayim. Now, there's another pasuk which also could be related to us, to our discussion about pachim, and that pasuk speaks about pach u'mokesh. And mokesh, you know, is a stumbling block. So pach could mean when a person puts a pach in front of someone else. The word pach is a more general term for some sort of mokesh, for some sort of a stumbling block, which is called, could have caused man to fall. So if we combine the two psukim in Tanakh and try to come up with one integral understanding or translation of the word pach, it means that Hashem will send certain phenomenon, you know, natural phenomenon, which will be catastrophic for man. It'll be a pach u'mokesh. It'll cause man's downfall through some sort of natural intervention, let's call it a heat wave, that's very dangerous. So in any event, sinin upachin, at this stage in the Gemara, again, as I indicated before, the Gemara is going to make an entire about face, but right now the Gemara thinks that sinin upachin is a natural catastrophe, as opposed to aryeh veganvei, which is not a natural catastrophe. So in the case of ganvei, clearly that's called dinei adam. That means human intervention. You know, he's attacked by a marauder. But what about aryeh? Why is aryeh considered an ason bidei adam? So here I quote to you the Shita Mekubetzes, which is the most important anthology of Rishonim on Ksuvas, who says the following: Ason al yidei aryeh eino ason bidei shamayim. There's some sort of premise here. I would call it almost a metaphysical premise that when an aryeh attacks someone, it is not the result of nature. It's not a natural phenomenon. Maybe man puts himself into a dangerous position. I'm not sure how or why this is so. I understand in the case of ganavim, certainly there's a human element, but in the case of aryeh, the beast, that doesn't seem to be bidei adam. But again, we're not saying it's bidei adam now, because he's saying eino bidei shamayim. That's what the phrase bidei adam means. Now, I think this might become a little bit clearer when we study the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua has an unbelievable kasha here on Rav Ada bar Yaakov, and he says the following. I don't understand Rav Ada bar Yaakov. Rav Ada bar Yaakov says, Dilmal aryeh veganvei. Maybe what disturbs the mind of Yaakov Avinu is aryeh veganvei, which is an ason bidei adam. Frek de Pnei Yoshua, I don't understand. Why not assume that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of every kind of asson, whether it be a natural asson, which could be a result of exposing yourself to heat or cold, extreme heat or cold, or a human generated asson, which would be a tragedy that was the result of human intervention. Why not assume that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of the entire scope of possible disaster? And that would again justify Abaye. Why? Because once the word asson indicates not only bidei Adam, as long as I can prove to you that the word asson also encompasses the scope of bidei Shamayim, of natural tragedy, then we justify Abaye's Yalfusa, his Gzeirah Shava, to prove Rav Nechemya, Rav Nechunya ben Akadah. All Abaye has to prove is that the word Asson indicates even an Asson bidei Shamayim. And if that be the case, when we plug in this interpretation into the word Asson in the parasha of Kimlei ben Rabbeinu, it means that this Kimlei ben Rabbeinu even in Asson bidei Shamayim. What bothers me, if Yaakov Avinu was worried about Aryeh Vagandeh, okay, so he's worried about Aryeh Vagandeh, but he's no less worried about Sinan Upachin. And if he's no less worried about Sinan Upachin, then we've accomplished that goal of broadening the scope and the interpretation of the word Asod to include Bidei Shamayim. And hence we have the Gzeirah Shava of Abaye and justifying Rav Nechunya ben Akadah. So in order to answer this question, the Pnei Yeshua brilliantly introduces the concept of Arvus. You may recall that in the dialogue between Yaakov the father and Yehuda the son about whether to send Yaakov down as Yosef
and Benjamin down.
And Benjamin the son, in terms of whether to send Benjamin down as the viceroy of Egypt had demanded, Yaakov Avinu initially was inhibited. He didn't want to send Binyamin. He was afraid of Asson. But what happened? What clinched the agreement of Yaakov Avinu at the end to send Binyamin down? And here we introduce a concept called Arvus. Yehuda comes forward and he says to his father Jacob, Anochi Arvenu miyadai tivakshenu. I will be the Arev. I will be, in a sense, the security. I take it upon myself with full responsibility to guarantee, even if it means putting my life on the line, that no tragedy will befall Binyamin. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, in the context of this parish of Arvus, we cannot possibly be referring to an Asom Bidei Shamayim. It could only refer to an Asom Bidei Adam. Why is that so? A brilliant move of the Pnei Yehoshua. He says the following: Al Karchav Me'ason Shibidei Shemayim Lo Hikpid Yaakov. If Yaakov's Kpeda was on worried about an Ason Bidei Shemayim, natural catastrophe, then Yehuda's response to calm his father down with Arvus is totally out of place. It would not accomplish its goal, because Kol Koros HaOdom, whatever befalls man, nigzar, is already part of a divine decree. Whatever in the nature of, whenever nature, creates a problem for man, that's all part of a divine decree. Maybe we have to go back to Rosh Hashanah and see what God decreed on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, what would Yehuda be saying to his father? I can be an Arev, that no natural catastrophe will bring down, Binyamin. That doesn't make any sense. The best that Yehuda could possibly take upon himself is that I will protect Binyamin against human intervention. You can't protect against Sinan Upachin. Sinan Upachin are natural disasters. Today we talk about tsunami, all these kinds of things. When that happens, you can be the strongest man in the world. You can put your life into danger. You can jump and from the heights. What do they call that sport when you jump?
Bungee jumping.
Not bungee jumping. I'm talking about something else. Anyway, people who scale walls and stuff like that. There's a name for that sport.
Well, scaling walls is bouldering, but
all right. That's anyway. There's a word I'm looking.
Oh, rappelling.
Rappelling. Actually, yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Repelling. You can be the greatest at repelling, but it's not going to help you if there's a tsunami, if there's a storm. So what was the dialogue back and forth between Yaakov and his son Yehuda? It must have been about what we call Bidei Adam. And here the Pnei Yehoshua I want to read to you because I think it sheds a light on Aryeh over here. He says, "Me Aryeh v'ganovim shechoshash Yaakov avinu." He says the following, that here man makes a decision, lahachnis atzmo l'sakana. He says the following, that the kind of danger which could be prevented, if you have an arvus, you have a very strong commitment and sense of responsibility, is Aryeh v'ganovim. Why? Because in Aryeh v'ganovim, if you take special care to avoid a certain place because you're worried maybe there'll be ganovim there, maybe there'll be arroyos there, there'll be arroyos with mouth, there'll be lions, then you could possibly prevent yourself from being exposed to that danger. That's where the arvus of Yehuda comes to the fore. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, with regard to Aryeh ganovim, then it makes sense that we could justify the back and forth between Yaakov and Yehuda. Yaakov said, "I'm worried about Aryeh ganovim. I'm not worried about Bidei Shamayim. Tzinu Pachin, you know, if it's up in Shamayim, it was written down in the books, that's a divine decree. Nothing's going to change that. I can't be concerned about that. If Binyamin Chas V'Shalom was meant to die, then that's part of a divine plan. But what I am worried about here is Aryeh v'ganovim. Who's going to protect me from Aryeh v'ganovim? Who's going to guarantee that that Binyamin will not be exposed in the route that he takes down to Mitzrayim to places where there might be Aryeh v'ganovim?" And here's where Yehuda, as we say in baseball, steps up to the plate. Miyadei tevakshedu, and his arvus is such that I will make sure that Binyamin will not be exposed to any sakon. So it's fascinating, Rabbos, on a philosophical level. Again, we're not studying Agadita here, but this is a bit of an Agadita today. That man could control and protect himself against, you might say, well, if he went down a road and the Aryeh attacked, maybe that's also part of the divine plan. The answer is no. That's not a divine plan. Because since you have the power, it's within your power to protect yourself against the Aryeh, therefore, if you didn't do enough, don't blame God for that. That's not part of the divine decree. And there's where Arvus comes to the fore. So Binyamin's exposure to danger is going to be avoided by Yehuda's special meticulous care because Yehuda came up with Arvus. So now, Rabbi, this I think would shed a light on the Shittim Lubetzis that we mentioned earlier. The Shittim Lubetzis says, although Aryeh is not Bidei Adam in the strict sense, how does Rav Ada Bar Abba classify Aryeh as Bidei Adam? Ganovim, yes, that's Bidei Adam. But Aryeh is not Bidei Adam. The Bidei Adam here is not the Aryeh who's attacking the person, but the person who exposes himself to the Aryeh, right? Like, I'll give you an example. If you travel in certain places, like we were in the west of Canada, near the Rockies. So there are places where they tell you to watch out for grizzly bears. They give you a whole long thing about what to do if you're afraid of grizzly bears. So there's certain precautions that you have to take.
More public than I'm afraid.
So again, the big breakthrough here, the Pnei Yehoshua, and without the Pnei Yehoshua, honestly, I have no clue what's going on in this Gemara, is that Rav Ada Bar Abba says that the word Ason refers exclusively to Bidei Adam. You cannot, Abai, you're not justified in expanding the word Ason to include Bidei Shamayim. Yaakov Avinu could not have been concerned about Bidei Shamayim because that's part of the Gzeira of the Ribono Shel Olam. And number two, Yaakov Avinu would not in any way be calmed down by Yehuda's arvus in a case of a tragedy bidei shamayim. Therefore, we must conclude, says Rav Ada Bar Abba, that the word ason in the parasha of Binyamin is exclusively referring to ason bidei adam, and that's where the parasha makes sense, and that undermines the entire approach of Abaye. Now, before we go on, I want to mention something else here. I'm not sure if it's relevant, so I'm working out the mathematics together with you. We have a Gemara in Pesachim that says, Shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. So I was wondering, If the purpose of Yehuda convincing his father to send down Binyamin is called mitzvah, I'll tell you why I think it's a mitzvah, a great mitzvah, then maybe what Yehuda is saying to Yaakov Avinu is, you know what? Give Binyamin into my hands. I am achieving a mitzvah. And Shluchim Mitzvah Nizakim. Maybe that's how he calms down his father Yaakov.
Rashi addresses that, I think, in his parish on that Chumash.
Oh yeah, if you can find it for me. I don't know if we have a Rashi. I know we have a Chumash. I don't know if we have a Chumash with Rashi. I always tell you the story. The Rabbi asked for a Chumash once, and she is somebody born a Chumash. He says, "You call that a Chumash? There's no Rashi." He says, "That's not a Chumash." But do you hear my question? I'm saying maybe we could talk about even Bidei Shamayim. When the Gemara says in Pesachim that Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizachim, it doesn't differentiate between Nizachim Bidei Adam and Nizachim Bidei Shamayim. So now you'll ask me, but about Berzon. Chaim says he has Rashi, so I'll ask Chaim to find it out. So you'll ask me, how do I know that he's a Shliach Mitzvah? So I think that the greatest mitzvah of all is Pidyon Shvuyim and Pikuach Nefesh. That's why I always tell my son. My son is an emergency medicine doctor. I always say, Baruch, you're always involved in a great mitzvah of saving lives. Now at this point, Shimon has been taken captive, and not only that, but the house of Jacob are literally on the verge of starvation. In fact, if you read the Psukim, you'll see that on his first round, Yehuda was unsuccessful. He was a total failure. He could not convince his father. But then, on the second round, he convinced his father. What happened between the first round and the second round is all their provisions had completely diminished. Yehuda steps up at the moment of absolute danger. We have no choice here. So it's a great mitzvah that he's involved in. So I want to suggest the following. This also is part of the proof of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Ada Bar Ava stands up and he says the following. The kind of sakana of asan that Father Jacob is concerned about is got to be an asan bidei adam. Here's where the principle of shluchei mitzvah einam nizakim is not going to help. Yaakov Avinu is not worried about sinan upachin, about the natural catastrophe. Why? Because when it comes to natural catastrophe, God gives us an absolute commitment, a promise, a divine promise, that shluchei mitzvah einam nizakim.
So there's a limit on that too. If you already know it's dangerous, if you're going to allow a land where there's...
Okay, so let's assume, again, that's another premise that I want to operate with, which again you can question, that Yehuda was not taking Binyamin into some sort of disaster zone, if there's a tsunami. So what is Yaakov Avinu concerned about, and how does Yehuda calm him down? Yaakov Avinu is concerned about Bidei Adam. In a case of Bidei Adam, there's no guarantee of Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizakim. I mean, this itself is my focus, almost to the Mishonim. But the sheet of the Alshif, for example, is that when it comes to Asan Bidei Adam, there's no divine promise. Why?
Because you could have?
Because of freedom of choice. So this touches on a very deep philosophical issue whether Reuven can kill Shimon even if Shimon is totally innocent. And the Al-Shuk, if I'm not mistaken, and the Orachayim HaKadosh, they're of the opinion that if Reuven kills Shimon out of hatred, then even if Shimon didn't deserve to die, Reuven has the potential of killing Shimon. I mean, we don't feel comfortable with that approach, and our Shah disagrees, but I'm just telling you, because freedom of choice means absolute freedom of choice. So I'm just thinking out loud here that maybe Yaakov Avinu is concerned about Misa Bidei Adam, as far as Binyamin's health, his security is concerned, because here Shluchei Mitzvah does not help me. If there's human intervention, and then what happens is that Yehuda says, you know what, there won't be human intervention, I can promise you, because I'm a tough guy, and I'm going to jump out there, and I'm going to protect Binyamin at all costs. And I'll attack the lion, don't worry about it. I'll attack the thieves. And therefore he calmed down Yaakov.
Yeah, I found the Rashi. When Yaakov says, Penyik re'enu ason, Rashi asks, Uvavayat, lo yikrei lo asam?
What was the first word I didn't catch?
Uvavayat. At home.
Uvavayat?
Yeah, there's no danger at home. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Mikan Shasatan Mikatreg Bishat Hasakana. I mean, I guess this is related to, I don't know, what they call Sakara Mitsuya, I forget the exact.
So in other words, as soon as they leave the environments of the home, it becomes a Shat HaSakana, and now terrible things can happen.
Yeah, I also wonder if any long journey might be considered Sakana and Mitsuya in those days.
The fact that we bench Gomel, maybe that would be a proof that the journey is a Shat HaSakana. Well, so now, the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression to analyze Rav Ada Bar Ava's assumptions. And there are two assumptions. Number one, he assumes that Tzidut Upachin is natural. And number two, he assumes that Arayos, that lions, is Bidei Adam. It's not natural. Fekta Gemara, Vitzidut Upachin Bidei Shamayim Ninu? Is there no element of human negligence in the case of Tzidut Upachin? It's just that you got overwhelmed by a hot or a cold burst of air. For Asanya, we have a brisa, Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mitzidut Upachin. That anything that happens to a person, any tragedy that befalls him, Rachmana Litzlan, is all part of a Gzeiras Melech. It's all part of a divine plan. Chutz, with the exception of Tzidut Upachin. In the cases of Tzidut Upachin, it's human negligence. A person did not watch himself carefully. Again, as a child, I remember my parents were very, very machped. I shouldn't go barefoot. You know, I don't know. Somebody told me that today's science doesn't buy into that. That even on cold floor, it wouldn't do you any harm. I don't know. I'm not sure. So you'll check it out.
The Kohanim always went barefoot. That was the point, to keep
them away. Maybe that's what Shluchei, I don't know, but then it's Shriya Chaseika, you go back and forth. But in any event, when it comes to catching a cold, one could say that there is an element of human negligence. You know, if you end up in the wrong places, you can catch a cold. You know, it's interesting, my father, may rest in peace, is named after his uncle. My father's uncle's name is Dov Aryeh. Dov Aryeh, my father's uncle, was on his way to Lubavitch to Tomchei Tbimin. And he left, you know, I think in those days he went by carriage horse, so, you know, because again, my father, if he was alive, would be 105, so his uncle, that's going back almost two centuries ago. In any event, so they found him 6 months later, frozen to a tree. In other words, that when he left, the weather was good, and then there's a whole issue about giving names for people who died tragically. I don't know if you know about that. In any event, Shenemar, how do we know, says the Braisa, that Tzidut Upachin is something that man is negligent about, he's guilty, he exposed himself. Shenemar, Pasuk in Mishle, Tzidut Upachin b'derech ikesh, but shomer nafsho yirchak mehem, that Tzidut Upachin can bring you down the wrong path, but if you're careful about it, then you distance yourself from Tzidut Upachin and you'll be fine. So that's question number one against Rav Ada Bar Ava. How can Rav Ada Bar Ava assume that Tzidut Upachin is bidei shamayim? No, there's an element here of human negligence. Vesu, and furthermore, his second premise, namely that Aryeh Vaganve are considered bidei adam ninhu. So now the Gemara is going to attack this premise that Arayos, that if an Aryeh comes in and devours you, it's because of Adam. You know, it's that you could have prevented such a thing. Ve'omar Rav Yosef, v'chein Tani debei Tani Rabbi Chia. So Rav Yosef is in Amora, and then they found it in a brace of Tanoim, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was the last of the Tanoim. Miyom shechar beis hamikdash af pi shebatlu sanhedrin arba misas lo batlu. Now, in order to hand down a verdict of capital punishment, you need a sanhedrin of 23 judges. And at one point in the history of the Jewish nation, there was no longer a sanhedrin. Again, this is a very problematic Gemara. I'm not sure if I'm going to get into this. I just don't know if I have the kochos for it. This Chorav Beis HaMikdash makes no sense. I mean, Sanhedrin was bought way before the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. It calls the Sanhedrin, and that's a sugya many places in Shas. But in any event, let's just overlook that glitch here in the system. But let's just assume that with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was no Sanhedrin. But the Gemara says, even though that we can no longer condemn a criminal to death, because we don't have the Sanhedrin to do so, but nevertheless, there's a different system which exactly parallels the Arba Mises Pesdin, and that is a divine system. So the Gemara asks on this price, what is the divine system? How does that parallel or mirror image the judicial system of four Mises Pesdin? There's no Sanhedrin. Ella, says the Gemara, here we go on to Daf, Laman Amud Beis, Din. And the word dinya means din shamayim. Arba mises lo batel. In other words, in shamayim, you know the criminal who deserves any one of those four deaths respectively will suffer those deaths. Not exactly the way Beis Din does it, but in a very similar natural way. Okay, the natural way. And now we try to prove that Aryeh, if someone is attacked by a lion, that's a punishment for a cardinal sin, which after the Bittul Sanhedrin would be meted out by the killing of an Arya. So to call Arya Bidei Adam is not correct. If a person dies from an Arya, that's Bidei Shamayim. It's just that the Bidei Shamayim is substituting now for the Beis Din, for the Sanhedrin. So now the Gemara goes through all four Mises Beis Din. Mishan is Chayev, Skila. If a person should be pushed off a very high place and he gets crushed on the bottom, is one of two things are going to happen to him now that there's no Sanhedrin. Oh, number one, no fil minagag, he's going to fall off a high place. That's crystal clear, that's mamish skila, and then no one pushes him off except Hashem pushes him off. Oh, chaya dorasto, or he'll be jumped upon, he'll be pounced by a lion. When a lion pounces you, he shoves you down on the ground. And it's quite possible, again, I'm not a, you know, you have to Google this, that as soon as he hits the ground, he's already dead. The lion will devour him as a dead person. So that's called skila. So we know now that Arya is Bidei Shamayim. It's not Bidei Adam. Mishan is Chayv Sreifa, which means that they put hot lead into his throat, and the lead goes down into his innards and burns up his inside, is oh no fel bedleiko, either he falls into a fire, o nachash makisho, or the eres, the toxic substance of the serpent, enters into his body and burns up his body. Mishan is chayv hariga, if he deserves to be beheaded, that's called Misa Sayev, otherwise known as Hariga, Hereg, in the language of the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. So one of two things are going to happen. O Nimsol of Malchus, the government is going to put him to death by beheading him. O List him, because these kind of attackers, when they kill their victims, they behead them. Boinam, they come and attack. Mishan is Chayev Chenek. Chenek means that they take a sudar, some sort of a cloth, and they strangle him until he chokes to death. His otover bid nahar, he dies in the water, and that's also a kind of chanika because he has no oxygen. O meis bisruch srunchi. Srunchi, the Mefarshim identify it as the same disease that killed the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. That's called Askara. And Askara is some sort of an attack in the throat. So just like in the case of Chenek, they held on to his throat in a way that he couldn't breathe, this disease called Askara is also going to choke him to death. In any event, it's clear that if a person gets killed by Aryeh, by a lion, or by mourners that attack him, that is a Misa Bidei Shamayim, Ella April. So therefore we have to change the words of Rav Adav Arava. What he meant to say is, how do you know, Abaye, that the word asam is referring to a misavitei shamayim, like Aryeh and Ganve? Maybe the word asam is referring to tzinin upachin, which is bidei adam. Now, if this be the case, then again, let's go back to the basics, back to the Pnei Yoshua, and let's see if we can work this out. So Rav Ada's objection is the following, that perhaps what Binyamin was exposed to and what Yaakov Avinu was concerned about was not a misa bidei shamayim. If a man dies in one of these ways, you know, called Arya Vagandhe, that's part of a divine plan. But rather, what Yaakov is concerned about is tzinin upachin, which is bidei adam, and that's where Yehuda was able to calm him down with arvus by saying that don't worry about tzinin upachin. I will make sure that we don't expose Binyamin to any very hot places, or you know, desert, you know, sharab conditions, or any very cold places like down in a valley. And that's what calmed down Yaakov. But at this point, the final maskan in the Gemara is that Abaye doesn't have a clear-cut proof to support Rav Nachum ben Akana that the word asam that Yaakov Avinu is concerned about is referring to bidei shamayim. Again, you and I might say, well, Yaakov Avinu is concerned about everything. Any sort of tragedy that could chas shalom befall Binyamin. But Rav Abba is saying, no, Yaakov is not concerned about bidei shamayim. That's bidei shamayim. His ason that he's worried about is by, like you said before, I'm leaving the house. You know, once you leave the house, you expose yourself to all sorts of dangers. And that's already bidei adam. How do we know that you'll take the adequate protection, measures of protection to do so? That's Rav Abba. Again, the Gemara doesn't come back to defend Abaye. In fact, at this point, Rav is going to offer a whole new explanation for Rav Nachum ben Akana, a totally different source. The only thing I want to say here in defense of Abaye is that even when it comes to something that's bidei shamayim, there still is an element of bidei adam. What do I mean to say? When you leave the confines of the house, then all these kinds of forces in nature, like an Arya, you know, a lion, become very, very dangerous. And therefore, I would rather keep Binyamin locked up in the house rather than expose him to any sort of danger, even the slightest danger. Now you're right. If Chas V'Sholom, a person is killed in this way, then we have to, you know, we have to say Tzidik HaDin, say it's all part of a divine plan. Rav Amar Taima D'Rav Nachum ben Akana Mihochma. All right, so here we have to read the Chumash, and this is in Vayikra Perek Chav. This is the case of what's called Nosei Nizara LaMolech. So Molech was a kind of an idol, and the worship for that idol was that a father had to bring a son, maybe his oldest son, to the fires that were burnt in this as part of this cult, this idol worshipping cult. Now, if the father does so, a Jewish father brings his Jewish son to the Molech, then the Torah says that God will bring curse upon this person. So let's read the Psukim. The Psukim say the following. Some of this you'll see in the Gemara, some of it you won't see in the Gemara. V'el b'nei Yisrael tomar ish ish mi b'nei Yisrael v'nager ha'gor b'Yisrael asher yitei mizara l'molech mos yumas ama'oretz yigamu ba'oven. So the punishment for Skila, if there were witnesses, for a father who brought his son to Molech, is Skila. However, the Torah continues and says, V'im ha'alei y'alimu ha'ma'arts ha'seineyam in ha'ish ha'hu b'tiso mizara l'molech levilti ha'mis aso. If for one reason or another, Beis Din did not implement this punishment of Misa to the father who brought his son to Molech, and again, it could be various reasons. Either they didn't have enough evidence, or Beis Din was afraid to put him to death. So God says, I'll take care of it. V'samti ani es ponai v'ishahu u'mimishpachto v'chrati oso. So we see that kares, which is a divinely generated punishment, is a replacement for misa. Because again, the Torah says, mos yumas, that the father should be killed, and specifies exactly how we kill him. And then the Torah says, if Bezdin doesn't mete out that death penalty, Hashem says, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And the word is kares, that kares is a replacement for misa. So Rav wants to know, why did the Torah have to go out of his way to say v'hechrati? And the choice of the word hechrati here is to teach us and shed a light on the nature of the punishment of kares. To equate or upgrade kares to misas bezdin. That kares now becomes an exact replacement or substitute for misas bezdin. And therefore the dinim that apply to misas bezdin are going to apply to kares. Even though misas bezdin is an onish bidei adam and kares is an onish bidei shemayim, but the Torah went out of its way with a these two continuous psukim to upgrade it and equate the status of kares to that of misas bezdin. And what does it teach us? Amar Torah, kares shali kemisa shalachem. And this is not a philosophical principle, it's a halachic principle. Ma misa shalachem patur min hatashlumin, af kares shali patur min hatashlumin. We have here a hekesh in the pasuk between kares and misa. So that even though the word asom in the parasha of Kimlin Rabbi refers specifically to asom bidei adam, to human punishment, but I'm going to expand that parasha of Kimlev the Ramani based on a hekesh between kares and misa, so that now Rava can accept Rav Adwar Avos' objection to Abaye. Right, Rav Adwar Avos says that the word ason might be referring only to exclusively to bidei adam. How do you prove from the word ason that the parasha of Kimlei Rabbi includes even an ason bidei shamayim? And the answer is Eino Chinami. If I only had the word ason, I'm in a stalemate. I'm up against a brick wall. I don't know. But what I do know is that the Torah equated kares with misa. Misa's bezin. Why did the Torah do so? That was from the Chuni Ben Akadah's understanding that the Torah wanted to tell you the Petura Tashlumen and the din of Kimlei Rabbi. The rest of the sugya here is my ikobein rovel abayim. Now that we have two approaches, two explanations to justify Rabbi Chuni ben Akana, we have that of Abaye, which means that we're based on the fact that it says Ason. Then we have Rava based on the fact that the Torah says Im Hale Yalimu, that if Bezdin, for whatever reason, didn't put him to death, then Hashem says, I'm going to put him to death with the Misa of Kares, to teach you that the Misa of Kares is a replacement and an equal replacement for Misa's base, then what's the difference? The Gemara wants to assume that Abaye and Rava were not just arguing in the theoretical realm, but there were practical differences. I just want to add here, before we go on, because we're running out of time, the Shita Mekubetza says that Rava's Yalfusa is from the fact that the Pasuk speaks only about the onish of the chote. V'ilu al elu shalimei neim v'lo anishu. Rav understood, that's the chiddush of the Shita Mekubetza, that v'im halim yalimu means that the Jewish people, let's say, I don't know, I'm not pinpointing any specific Jew, but were guilty of passivity here. By not actively putting this person to death, they're in a certain sense almost by omission, they're allowing this Moloch cult to penetrate through the Jewish people. You have to take a strong stand over here, because Moloch became a widespread of Avodah Zarah, and there was a serious suspicion that the Jewish people would be dragged into it. So the Torah should have said over here, not just v'hichrati oso, but the Torah should have indicated some sort of punishment for elu shehelimu einam, for those who were guilty of omission by not punishing him. Why wasn't he punished? And the reason why the Torah omits this, says the Shita Mekubetza, is mishum Shalogarmu, because they didn't actually cause his death, and therefore there would be no punishment that would replace the death penalty. Meaning, in the case of those who were guilty of omission, you cannot say that God is going to give some sort of a substitute death penalty. So Rava, the whole basis of Rava's derivation is to point out that the Torah is focusing on a substitute death penalty. And what is that substitute death penalty? It's Karis. But what do you mean substitute death penalty? Who deserves to die over here? And the answer is the father deserves to die. Those who are guilty of omission by not putting him to death, you know, God has punishment for them too, but that's not Misa. They don't deserve death. The real violator of a cardinal sin was the father. And that's why the Torah says if there's a cardinal sin here, and this man should have been put to death by Beis Din, instead God says, I'm going to give a substitute for that Misa's Beis Din, and that's going to be...
when the Torah says, Uga Mishpachto, it means... say adult family members who might have been able to prevent this?
I don't know. I really have to research that. Maybe you could look in Rashi, since you have the Rashi here, if he says why Mishpachto is considered guilty. We have a principle called Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim. I don't know why the Banim dying over here, but that's a philosophical question that requires what I call Parshanut, you know, really understanding the Pasuk in its context. I didn't get that far. In any event, I'll just read the next line in the Gemara, which we'll have to take up tomorrow. It's a very profound sugya. Ika beinayu, the nafkamina is going to be zar sha'och al truma. This is what's called a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. Labaye patur, because again, Abaye has a gzeira shav of any misa bidei shamayim included on the word asona. L'rava chayav, because Rava considers this only in the equation that Rava has derived from the parish of Molech, is only... Kares equals Misas Bezdin. But there's no equation for what's called Misa Bidei Shamayim. So tomorrow, Belinetta, we'll talk a little bit about the difference between Kares and Misa Bidei Shamayim.
Rashi brings an answer about the Mishpachto. It says, Amar Rabbi Yashimon, V'chi Mishpacha Mechata, what's their sin? Did they sin? Ela Lemaitcha comes to teach us she'ein lecha mishpacha sheyesh bo moches, a tax collector, she'ein kulam mochsin, shekulam mechapim alav. They're somehow active partners in this.
Very good.
Okay, thank you. It's dangerous to ask you questions.
I want to know.
Yeah, basically, anyone who asks a question during my share, I throw the ball back in.
Yeah,
I said,
learning.
You asked the question, you answered it. That's the Gemara calls who most in love, who most in love.